Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. Asia Pacific shares are trading higher this morning following a night of record highs on Wall Street. Tokyo up more than 1.5%. Seoul is up 0.5%. Sydney is trading higher as well. Shares of electric vehicle battery makers are jumping in Asian trade thanks to a deal between Hertz and Tesla. Keep that news in mind when it comes to our game of up or down later in the segment. Joining me this morning to break down all the market action. How are you doing this Tuesday, Ryan?
Hey, morning, Michelle. Doing well. How about you?
Okay, not bad. We begin this morning with two high-profile companies that are reporting earnings, one in technology, the other in finance. Both are painting bullish outlooks for the future, despite some very significant challenges. The tech giant, as you might expect, is headquartered in the US. The bank has its primary offices in London and Hong Kong. I am talking about HSBC and Facebook. All right, let's start with the social media giant, which, as far as we know, is not changing its name just yet, despite a lot of speculation on that front. At the market's close this morning, Facebook reported a mixed batch of results. Profits grew 17% in the third quarter, but its top-line revenue has come in below expectations. All this as Facebook faces fallout from a trove of leaked documents and testimony to lawmakers on both sides of the Atlantic. Now, last week, Ryan, we saw Snap's ad revenues hit hard by Apple's new privacy rules for the iPhone, as well as signs that companies are spending less on marketing amidst all the supply chain troubles. So do either of these issues appear to be affecting Facebook's earnings?
Yeah, let's take a look at the earnings first. And you do have revenue coming in at $29 billion. That's slightly less than what people were looking out for, $29.45 billion. Earnings per share was a beat, and it was up $3.20 per share versus the $3.17 expected. And if you look at the monthly active users, that came in at 3.58 billion versus the 3.51 consensus forecast. So you are still seeing people going on to Facebook. They are still making money. So the big question is, will they continue to make money in the same growth numbers we've been seeing? And if you look at what happened to Snap, the Apple disruption in terms of the advertising privacy changes, to a certain extent, that did not have a huge impact on the latest quarter, but Facebook did acknowledge the latest iOS updates might see some impact on the coming fourth quarter. So it kind of gave a bit of a cloudier outlook with what they call significant uncertainty in light of continued headwinds from Apple's iOS 14 changes and macroeconomic and COVID-related factors. So you do have a bit of a more conservative feel or tone looking into the next few months.
Facebook shares closed up more than 1% overnight. They are up another 1.7% in after-hours trade. Now, investors appear to be setting aside concerns, at least for the moment, about the damage that could be caused to Facebook's reputation and its business by the recent release of internal documents. Whistleblower Francis Hogan testified to U.S. lawmakers yesterday about how Facebook has refrained from reining in the harmful effects of its social media platforms for fear of jeopardizing profits and growth. What are the latest revelations on this front? And do you think it's going to fuel conversation for new regulation of Facebook, Ryan, and perhaps other social media platforms as well?
Yeah, among the latest reports is how the whistleblower Francis Hogan was talking to the UK Parliament, and she gave a picture of how Facebook would likely feel more violent and more protests around the world because of the way Facebook algorithms work. So she said Facebook does not take the user safety as a priority, and that is likely to see more similar incidents happening where people just are exposed to these type of things. For example, the events in Myanmar, in Ethiopia, those are some of the examples she brought up as what was fueled by social media. And she also talked about how Facebook had devised ways to keep users scrolling, even if it was detrimental to their well-being, putting profit before people. So quite a bit of a damning accusation that is likely to make a lot of lawmakers sit up and take notice and start to wonder, you know, how much regulation should they be putting on social media?
Have you found yourself scrolling against your sense of well-being?
I think I am one of the many people who have started to drift away from using as much Facebook as before. And this is actually part of the survey that Facebook done internally.
Yeah.
They noticed people have been, my age group have been starting to drift
away.
What
age group would that be, Ryan?
I think it is the millennial age group, and people joining Facebook are also joining at a later age. So they are facing a couple of headwinds, people just drifting away, as well as the young potential users are not joining them fast enough. So in terms of growth, that is going to be a tough gap for them to cover.
No, I found myself wondering, why am I still here when I'm scrolling? What am I doing exactly? Because it, you know, it falls into that category of busyness. You feel really busy. You feel the sense of this need to complete, but you know, it's a never-ending page, basically. And I wonder if it's getting harder and harder to pull yourself away in this age of distraction. Now, in an earnings call this morning, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg defended his company's reputation, arguing that the leaking documents are painting a false picture of Facebook's actions. And he also tried to shift the conversation to talk about how Facebook is changing. This is interesting. What does Zuckerberg have to say on that front?
Yeah, he was quite angry about the accusations, of course, and he kind of downplayed everything, saying, you know, this is just negative spin. And instead, he tried to focus things on the future, painting it as a rosy outlook. And this is where Facebook's new investments come in. They are betting or investing $10 billion in what's going to be called the metaverse. This is a up-and-coming concept. And this is where people like you and me can go online to a digital world to interact, maybe hold meetings, to be entertained, meet new people. So it's a bit like what we see in the movies, right? A digital world. And that's where businesses can see possibly new opportunities, you know, selling you virtual properties, virtual clothes, and so on and so forth, advertising. So it's a huge potential market for Facebook to tap into. So that is one of the, I guess, next big things they are keeping an eye on. And of course, this would be appealing to the next generation of users, the younger crowd, the younger population who are trying to get more connected and socially relevant. So that's one way for them to tap on that population.
I want to turn to the world of finance and HSBC next, because the bank is reporting a whopping 76% jump in profits and is planning a $2 billion US share buyback. So not long ago, HSBC appeared caught in the middle of tensions between US and China. And these latest numbers seem to indicate it's pulled out of that rut. So what is fueling the bank's profits?
It's quite similar to what I've seen in the US banking season. So that was around how banks were more bullish about the future, so much so they are releasing the provisions or the buffers they've been putting aside with the backdrop of COVID-19. So they don't think businesses will need to or will be going through as much trouble, potential trouble as before. So the provisions for bad loans or defaults, they have released that, and that kind of lifts the earnings. And on top of that, they feel they don't need to sit on so much cash. So that goes into a buyback program of up to $2 billion. So that is typically a boost for share prices. And that's one reason why HSBC is seeing a bit of a gain following the results. And of course, the wider backdrop for all banks is the potential for rates to go up. So that means profit margins that might be higher in future.
Yeah, the bank's saying it expects 2 to 3 interest rate hikes before the end of the year. HSBC officials really painting a bullish outlook for the bank's business in the months ahead. Why are they so optimistic?
Well, you do have a couple of tailwinds for it. We talk about the interest rates. And also worth watching is how M&A pans out.
Mm-hmm.
For example, IPOs, whether SPAC listings will continue to gain favor. So you've got a lot of things going for it, including the recovery of the wider economy. As more businesses recover, they need bank loans. Activities around that go up. Consumer spending goes up. So revenge spending, for example, cut usage will be going up. So all the typical banking activities will become a huge driver for growth in future. Unless something takes a turn for the worse,
HSBC shares finished up 1.6% yesterday. They're up 15% over the past month. Now, next up this morning on my corporate watch list, I'm going to turn to a company listed here in Singapore, Raffles Education. Its share price has plummeted 60% over the past 3 months. Its shares are routinely among the most actively traded on the Singapore Exchange these days. The company has been hit by a disagreement between its CEO and one of its biggest shareholders, Wee Hong Leong. That dispute has spilled over into an investigation of Raffles Education's directors by police and the MAS. So tell us, why is Raffles Education under fire?
Yeah, who says there's a shortage of drama in Singapore, right? So this is playing out between Wee Hong Leong and Raffles Education. So there is quite a lot to get into. But to sum it up, it's about how Wee Hong Leong is accusing the chairman and founder of Raffles Education, Chu Hua Sing, of many things. And this includes a potential breach of rules in relation to loan facilities. And he's also accused Mr. Chu of staffing Raffles Education with many of his family members and paying them high salaries. And on top of that, he released a letter accusing him of many things, such as giving those staff members who are his family members holidays and wines under the guise of company business. And also, he is pushing for regulators to investigate why Mr. Chu is so rich, why he has so many houses, why he has so many luxury properties in Italy and Switzerland. So that is, you know, something he's trying to push for. And then you have the pushback from Raffles Education saying, hey, this is really a personal thing that you're trying to get into, and it's really, to paraphrase it, none of your business. So they are saying, you know, let the business run by itself, let it take its own costs, and it's a tough time right now for all businesses. So don't be a distraction in that sense. So that is the latest saga that is hitting the corporate scene in Singapore.
Interesting case study for oversight and disclosure. We're going to have more corporate news in a moment, but I want to turn to a more macro issue. Now, yesterday we talked about how Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey is warning about the dangers of hyperinflation. Well, today, one of the world's most prominent investors, Cathie Wood, is telling Dorsey he's wrong. She replied to Dorsey on Twitter and she argued prices are actually set to fall after the holiday period, not rise. Walk us through Wood's argument.
Yeah, so you have to remember that Jack Dorsey is a huge backer of cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. And that is actually one of the reasons why people are thinking, hey, why did he come out of the blue to talk about hyperinflation? Because that theoretically might feed into his base case of why crypto or Bitcoin could be a good value of store for hedging against inflation. So that's a theory why he's saying the things he's saying. So here you have Cathie Wood also saying what she says. She's been saying this for quite some time, that deflation is coming because of innovation. And this is around a couple of rising trends. How, for example, technology would make people more efficient and more productive. And that basically brings down the cost of doing things, like how repetitive stuff will be taken over by robotics. So that brings down costs, and that means deflation in that sense. How medical advances brings down medical costs. So that's also deflation in that sense. And AI will also help in that sense, bring down the price of doing things. So that is also deflation, according to her at least. So they are seeing a bit of a different picture when it comes to how technology will play out.
Really interesting. And I actually have heard this argument from a October 2020 book. And I interviewed the author, Mark Mobius, told me why he thinks inflation is a myth and that we were entering a period of deflation. Exactly similar arguments, I have to say. So who do you think is right? Woods? Dorsey?
I'll tell you in future. We'll have to wait and see.
You got to hedge your answer. Oh my gosh. All right, time now for a game of up or down. Are you ready, Ryan?
Let's go.
Pinterest.
All right, Pinterest is down because PayPal is losing interest. So it's not going to be called Pinterest anymore. They were, of course, talking about buying Pinterest. Now it seems like they are not. So that is, I guess, a bit of a missed opportunity to make a bigger giant of what's happening in the e-commerce scene.
Pinterest is an awful name. I feel immediate revulsion.
Or PinPal.
PinPal sounds painful. All right, how about Tesla?
Right, Tesla is going to be an up for me, and they have driven their way up the club to $1 trillion in market cap. So overnight up 12% on the back of strong earnings, and also lifted by how Hertz, the rental company, is buying 100,000 Tesla cars to become more EV-focused in their rental fleet. So that also helps bring the EV concept into the mainstream more.
Yeah, and put this in context. Rental car company Hertz placing this order for 100,000 Tesla electric cars barely 4 months after exiting from bankruptcy. And that news has pushed Tesla's share price up and led its market value to top $1 trillion. So up for Tesla for me as well. Next, let's look at what started as a joke, Shiba Inu.
Yeah, so this is going to be a down for me. And this is after we talked about it yesterday when it was and up. So this is really typical of how the crypto world behaves, right? One day up, one day down, and now you have Shiba Inu, you know, just falling from its record highs, which it met yesterday. Now it's now down, and it's all around Elon Musk. So initially, part of that bounce, that drive up to record levels, was because he tweeted a picture of his dogs. Shiba Inu was one of them. And this helped to lift markets, those prices higher. And then he revealed that he didn't actually buy Shiba Inu. So that was a bit of a profit-taking moment, or, you know, head for the exits, everyone moment. So that's why it's now down about 15% since the record highs.
If you're wondering what does he hold, he holds no Shiba Inu. He was asked on Twitter how much of it he owns. He said none. He does hold Bitcoin, Ether, and Dogecoin. That's it, he said.
Hey, but you have to wonder, right, did he now say it because he can now buy it cheaper, to make it price cheaper?
I know, the conspiracy theories continue to unwind. Now let's move on to some local companies. Now, Mapletree Logistics Trust, up or down?
Okay, this is going to be a up for me because DPU for the second quarter is up 5.7% and it is eyeing substantial acquisitions.
Indeed, up for me as well. MLT's second quarter results better than expected for Mapletree Logistics Trust, and the company's manager says they are eyeing those acquisitions moving forward, substantial ones. And finally, one more, Keppel DC REIT.
I'm going up as well. So it looks like REITs are doing well, at least the ones that reported in recent days. DPU growth of 4.5% for Keppel DC REIT to 24.62 cents.
And that higher DPU means the company is saying its recent acquisitions are enabling it to pay a higher DPU rate to unit holders. So an up for Keppel DC REIT for me. Let's turn to Singapore now. The Straits Times Index finished marginally lower yesterday, 3201. Gainers and losers pretty evenly split across the market. And among the SDI constituents, I see CapitaLand Investment was the best performer, Hong Kong Land the worst. We are 23 minutes into the local trading day. How's the STI doing this morning?
Yeah, let's take a quick snapshot of where we are. And the STI is marginally down 0.1% at 3,196. And a quick check-in with the STI, pretty much split across the middle. Right at the bottom, we've got Keppel Corp as well as Keppel DC REIT. So Keppel Corp is down 1.6% and you've got Keppel DC REIT down 0.8%. And also, the travel-related stocks are also underwater right now. SIA is down 0.6%. SETS is down 0.5%. And all three banks also in the red. At the bottom of the crowd for banks is UOB, down 0.7%. So let's take a quick look at the top of the table. Mapletree Logistics Trust, on the back of the higher DPU it just reported, up 5.7%. Its share price is up nearly 1%, trading now at $2.01. So that's followed by Sembcorp Industries and Hong Kong Land, Yang Zhi Jiang and Genting. So that is the picture we have right now for STI.
Thanks very much. We will keep an eye out on markets for you. Asia Pacific shares trading higher this morning following a night of record highs on Wall Street. Coming up, would you wear technology that monitored your health if it would mean that your insurance company sort of paid you incentives to keep staying healthy? That's coming up. It's not far away. It's here and available right now. I'll tell you more about it at 10:05.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO.
Available on Google Play or the App Store.